Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Monday, March 16th, and I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. Cheyenne will be the new headquarters of the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association. That means the Hall of Fame and Museum of the American Cowboy will move to the Magic City of the Plains from Colorado Springs by 2029. In January, the PRCA Board of Directors started seriously considering moving the organization's headquarters, but the move was contingent upon Wyoming pitching in $15 million. That money got the green light in the state's budget. Cheyenne Leeds, an economic development organization helping with the move, said the PRCA headquarters will be located in the Hitching Post District. That's on the southwest corner of the I-25 and I-80 interchange in Cheyenne. Southeast Wyoming clocked hurricane-level winds last Thursday, and massive winds wreaked havoc across the entire state. Wyoming Public Radio's Caitlin Tan reports.
That's the sound of 80 miles per hour gusts whipping a hay tarp around in Lander while I tried to stand upright. Right after, the wind ripped a wheelbarrow out of my hands and into the pasture. Elsewhere in Wyoming, there were brush fires, downed power lines, city closures.
Even by Wyoming standards, this was a pretty exceptionally strong wind event.
Michael Natoli is with the National Weather Service. He says Cheyenne's airport clocked 92 miles per hour,
which was the strongest wind gust that has ever been measured at that weather station.
The storm is part of a wind event moving from the northwest U.S. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Caitlin Tan.
The Wyoming Game and Fish Department recently released a plan for how to manage the 10,000 elk that make up the Jackson herd. As Jackson Hole Community Radio's Jenna McMurtry reports, it's part of a statewide plan to reduce the spread of disease and slowly wean elk off of feed grounds.
Wyoming is the only state in the country with a comprehensive elk feeding program, which keeps the population artificially high. The in-depth plan is a playbook of 37 immediate measures, and another 11 more for later, should the first series get implemented. At a recent workshop in Jackson, members of the public wanted to better understand why elk have left their native winter range in the Gros Ventre drainage. Jackson's Regional Wildlife Supervisor Brad Hovinge says analyzing just that is part of the action plan.
We don't exactly know everything we'd like to know about why that happens. We do know over time elk have used native winter range in the Gros Ventre less.
The federal management plan instead calls for a decrease in population there. For KHOL, I'm Jenna McMurtry.
This winter was the warmest on record for much of the Colorado River Basin. And as Scott Franz reports for the Mountain West News Bureau, the forecast for how much snowmelt will flow downriver this spring is growing increasingly dire.
Hydrologists like Cody Mosier create a color-coded map to predict how much water will arrive at stops along the river from spring runoff. Green and blue dots are good, red are bad. This year's map is an alarm.
It's not a pretty picture here with lots of reds. That's 50 to 70% of normal April through July runoff. Those maroon colors are 30 to 50%, and we even have some of those pinks, which indicates less than 30% normal seasonal spring runoff.
Mosier is with the federal Colorado Basin River Forecast Center. He says just 2.3 million acre feet of Colorado River water is expected to reach Lake Powell through July. That's about a third of what's considered normal. Some forecasts predict the reservoir could get so low it will stop producing hydropower. The seven states in the river basin remain deadlocked over how to share and conserve the dwindling water supply. I'm Scott Franz.
Across the Mountain West, several tribes are working to bring bison back to their lands. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports, one source helping them is in Denver, where local government manages a herd.
Snow was falling fast and hard at a mountain park west of the city earlier this month when 34 bison were gifted to four tribes or nonprofits. Denver has managed two small herds since the early 1900s and started giving some animals to tribes 6 years ago. Lewis Talbull is with the Talbull Memorial Council, which has members from various tribes. This year, the organization is taking one bison back to a property it manages near Denver.
The bison represent so much. They represent the water and the fire and the thunder and the clouds and the snow. They represent all that, but at the same time, they represent us as indigenous people.
Tribal leaders said the animals would add genetic diversity to the growing herds and help feed tribal members with a historic food source. The Navajo Nation got 11 bison in the transfer, and Northern Cheyenne in Montana received 10. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
And now let's hear from Ivy Engel for a look at what happened this week in Wyoming history.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from history from around the state. According to the Wyoming Historical Society, on March 15, 1942, the Cheyenne United Service Organizations building was named the nation's best. On March 15, 1943, President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed a proclamation establishing Jackson Hole National Monument. The area was merged with the pre-existing Grand Teton National Park 7 years later. On March 16, 1906, a University of Wyoming student named Ronald McDonald injured his thumb while using a buzzsaw. No word on what career he went into. On March 16, 1941, a case of leprosy was discovered in the Sheridan area. On March 19, 1930, members of the Cody Club and the American Legion sent a letter to the J.C. Penney Company to discourage the store from coming to Cody. We don't know why they were against it. And the Gillette News Record reported on March 16, 1988, that students had their maintenance worker to thank for the school's new art. Jim Van Alstyne had been an art teacher before moving to Gillette. He helped students at Lakeview Elementary School paint their mascot on the gym wall. Other principals saw the work and asked Van Alstyne to paint their mascots, too. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. Okay, we're a small state, but does Wyoming have an international airport? Send us your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for Friday's trivia question, we have 23 counties in Wyoming. How did those counties get a number assigned to their license plates? Ordinarily, most people think that license plate county numbers were assigned in the 1930s based on population, but they were actually assigned on a county's ranking based on the total assessed property valuation in that county at the time. Congratulations to Russell Gray, who was the first to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great day, and join me again tomorrow.